Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. Let's get straight to the docket. First, Lori Vallow, the waiver explained, had a lot of questions in the comments. Second, the ex-cops in the Floyd case want the charges dropped. Third, the leaked video in the Floyd case. Fourth, a man slashes a woman for standing too close. A surprising plea in the case of a murdered state legislator. Arrest in the death of a pro poker player, a half-naked man in Walmart, what could possibly go wrong? And yes, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. As you know, yesterday we had a short video because I was in a marathon hearing, even if it was on Zoom, that went into the late hours. Anyway, the Lori Vallow attorney, Mr. Means, filed a motion to waive the preliminary hearing, which was scheduled for next Monday, August 10th. Now, that preliminary hearing would have had the same witnesses that were called in the Chad Daybell preliminary hearing. I talked about it last week after the preliminary hearing when we went live, as well as on our Patreon discussion group, that what benefit is she going to get from that? Nothing. The only thing it would show is a prior consistent statement if they were ever impeached with anything at trial, so it was better to waive it. Somebody may be listening to what I have to say, Mr. Means. Anyway, what is a waiver? All right. A waiver basically says you have a right to something, but that you are knowingly and intelligently giving up that right and waiving to exercise that right. In this case, the preliminary hearing. A waiver does not mean that she is pleading guilty. It just simply says, hey, I understand the very low standard of proof at the preliminary hearing, which is probable cause. Would a reasonable person believe, based upon the totality of the evidence, that a crime was committed and that you may have had something to do with it? That's it. Very, very low standard. So Mr. Means probably figured, let's save the client a little bit of money. We're just going to go and rehash it. And frankly, I don't think Means can do as well as a job as Mr. Pryor did in that preliminary hearing. So no hearing for Lori Vallow, the preliminary hearing. Her next date is the arraignment. Next on the docket, the attorneys in the George Floyd case are filing motions once again to have the case dismissed. The attorneys for the officers basically want to have the court rule that their clients did nothing wrong. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that I just simply do not see as a reality. These gentlemen have been charged. The matter will go to a jury trial. The jury will decide if they're guilty or not guilty, or guilty of a lesser offense. Ultimately, there may be some plea bargains in this particular case. As you may recall, there was an outcry from the attorneys as well, saying release all of the body-worn camera video in this particular case as it relates to George Floyd, because the video that we had before was not showing the complete picture. There's been little snippets out there, but the attorneys for the officers think that it's appropriate and will show that they were acting reasonably and well within the law. In a surprise statement, the prosecutors also have stated that they may revisit the issue of their objection, saying that they don't want the trial or pretrial hearings in the Floyd matters, either audio or video, i.e. televised, for the public to see. It's a little surprising that they would want that, but as you've noticed, not only in the Lori Vallow case, it was the prosecutor that didn't want the proceedings televised. Same thing in the Floyd case. I'm a firm believer. Let's put it all out there. Let the chips fall where they may. Now, there's been some talk that there is a video that's been released. Well, guess what? We've had it. Take a look at this. This is the body cam from one of the officers prior to, obviously, Mr. Floyd being placed into the police car or attempted to be placed in the police car and then ultimately on the ground. What does it show? It shows that he appears to be somewhat intoxicated or high. He's nervous about getting into the car. But even before the officers put him on the ground, he is complaining of breathing issues. That's going to be huge for the defense in this particular case because the officers are going to say, hey, here we have a guy that was high on illegal substances, opioids. He's already having breathing issues. He's resisting in some way, and not like he's trying to run away, but he doesn't want to get into the car. That's technically resisting. And I'm not justifying what the officers did in this particular case. I'm just simply saying what the officers are going to argue at trial. Now, we'll put the entire video up. It's about 5 minutes, but we'll do it on a separate link so you don't have to sit and scroll through it all right here. All right, next on the docket, a man slashes a woman for standing too close to her. That's right. A man flew into a rage on a Queens subway train this week, kicking a woman who he thought was standing a bit too close to her and then slashing her when she started filming on her cell phone. This 29-year-old woman boarded the train at the Junction Boulevard station at the corner of 82nd Street and Roosevelt Avenue. Not gonna lie, have no idea where that is. Anyway, she apparently stood in front of a man who was sitting by the doors. The man kicked the woman and snapped, quote, get the F away from me, end quote. That was enough to prompt the woman to pull out her cell phone and start taking video of the man. The man then continued to cuss at the woman and demanded that she stop recording him. He then removed a lanyard with a folding knife from his neck and started swinging at the woman and ultimately slashed her on the arm. The suspect, they say, is about 28 years old, 6 feet tall, slim build, brown eyes, and a short, close-cut, dark haircut. If you know anything about it, let somebody know. Completely unsolicited, random acts of violence. But I guess that's kind of a new thing in New York since just about everybody gets out on bond. Next on the docket, there was a surprise twist in a baffling Southern murder mystery. The main suspect of a state senator in Arkansas. The main suspect in the June 2019 murder of the former Arkansas state senator, Linda Collins Smith, will spend 54 years in prison after pleading guilty to murder. Rebecca O'Donnell, in her colloquy with the court, stated, quote, I went into Linda's house and I intentionally killed her and then hid the body. The change of plea came after 1 year after prosecutors in the case announced their intention to seek the death penalty against O'Donnell, who worked as both an aide to the senator as well later as an employee in the senator's business. Many thought that they were close friends. O'Donnell pled no contest to the two counts of solicitation to commit capital murder in another county. Those charges stem from prosecutors having described as a murder for hire plot while she was in custody. Those pleas will be treated as separate guilty pleas. So O'Donnell will serve 40 years for the murder, 14 years for the solicitation, and 3 years for the abuse of a corpse charge. Whether you like the death penalty or not, as I've stated before, for the state and the prosecutors, it is a tool to negotiate pleas. Obviously, the threat of death or being on death row was enough to convince Ms. O'Donnell to take the plea, which will ultimately be a life sentence without parole given her age. This just shows you, you may not always know exactly who you're dealing with. That's why I'm asking you, telling you, requesting you, go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a subscription for a background search. All right, when you sign up for that subscription, you can search as many names as you want, and it's all done anonymously. And while you wait, you'll get a report, and it'll show people's social media information, telephone numbers, email addresses, criminal history, property records, divorce records, bankruptcy records, sex offender records. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we have had people write to us and say, like this individual, I signed up for the background subscription and found out that the person that I was interested in had charges in his past for crimes against minors. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know who you're dealing with. Just like the good senator didn't know who she was dealing with, Miss O'Donnell, this person didn't know who she was dealing with. Get a background search. Know who you're dealing with. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, there's an arrest in the death of the pro poker player. You remember the story we brought you about 2 weeks ago where a pro poker player, Susie Zhao, had moved back to Michigan to be with her family. She was returning from LA. They ultimately found her body and it had been burned, and obviously she was deceased. Well, they've arrested a man by the name of Jeffrey Morris. He's 60 years old. There's still no indication how the two knew each other or if they knew each other at all. Now, Morris is a Tier 3 sex offender with a 1989 conviction for a third-degree criminal sexual conduct, force, or coercion, and he's currently listed as a transient. There does not appear to be any sort of motive in this particular case, and there's no information that Zhao and Morris knew one another, but they may have actually met at a hotel room. So the plot thickens for sure, and they have a suspect. We'll continue to follow the case. That's right. What could possibly go wrong? A half-naked man walking around Walmart. Well, let me tell you what can go wrong. He can start punching 72-year-old Walmart employees. That's what he can do. And in this particular case, and we'll give him the presumption of innocence, but a gentleman by the name of Kendrick Zenon, he's 30 years old, was apparently casually walking around the Reese Street Walmart in a full black mask, boxer shorts, and no shirt when he came combative and allegedly struck the victim in his face. The victim can be seen stumbling here in the video and falls to the ground. Now, Mr. Zenon, before he left the store, thought it would be a good idea to strip down to his birthday suit and then allegedly assault another co-worker who was 68 years old before ultimately running out of the store. Zenon was arrested and faces charges of battery. Well, obviously Mr. Zenon made some poor choices, probably involving some sort of illegal narcotic for sure. But at least he had his mask on, so he's got that going for him. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the week. Now I know it is a short list of contestants this week because we didn't do one Monday or Tuesday because we were covering the Chad Daybell preliminary hearing. I wasn't able to do it yesterday because I was in a hearing. So a short list of contestants. So let's get to our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Yes, take a look at Mr. Mark Gray. He's 39 and he's locked up on a trio of felony charges after allegedly three Sioux City, Iowa businesses, including a Security National Bank, were burglarized. Gray is currently being held on a $6,000 bond in connection with the string of pre-dawn break-ins. Coincidentally, Gray just happened to be on probation for burglaries that took place in 2019. It's alleged that Mr. Gray used a tool to smash the glass door of the bank around 12:15 a.m. He then entered the bank lobby and stole, you betcha, ladies and gentlemen, did he steal coin, which is in high value these days? No. Did he steal cash? Oh, no. What did he steal? That's right, hand sanitizer. Apparently, Mr. Gray did not realize that banks lock up all of their money when they go home at night, so the only thing that he could find of value was, in fact, the hand sanitizer. Now, Mr. Gray, you shouldn't go into places you don't have permission to get into. And when you go in there with the intent to commit a crime therein, that is no longer just a criminal trespass. That, my friend, is burglary. So you don't go into people's places or businesses with the intent to steal things or do any other crimes because it does become a burglary. Now, in your defense, Mr. Gray, you only took some hand sanitizer. Really, biggest cost will be to replace the window that you broke. But Mr. Gray, if you're going to go to the bank, you might as well go big. As in the famous words of, I believe it was Jesse James, when asked, why did you steal money from the banks? And his response was, because that's where the money is. Or Mr. Gray, you just have to be smart enough to get to the money. So our dumb criminal contestants of the week are Mr. Gray, our hand sanitizer burglar, as well as our 82-year-old man who was driving drunk. That's right, Mr. Kerry Devan. He drove his golf cart while he was intoxicated, striking a tree, resulting in a single golf cart incident, and then explained to the police that he was blaming Donald Trump for getting him all fired up and drinking, and it was Donald Trump's fault. So you let me know who is our dumb criminal contestant of the week. Mr. Devan blaming Donald Trump or Mr. Gray, who has no good excuse, but at least he has nice, clean hands. Thanks for watching. Have a great week. Next week, we'll try to get back on our regular schedule. Have a great day.